Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's open God's precious word to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I would like for you to turn to Daniel chapter 1 first, please. Now, what I'm looking forward to doing is when in Romans chapter 5, when we finish chapter 5, take a little break and go through Daniel, and I very boldly said we'll take a chapter a Sunday. Well, chapter 1 isn't that bad. It's only 21 verses plus introduction. And I've really had to kind of work on introduction because I could spend 2 Sundays on introduction. So we're just going to, I don't know what we'll do. But then I looked at chapter 2. My goodness gracious. Chapter 2 is 49 verses. If I just read it, it would be about, 45 minutes just reading it. So I don't know what we're going to do. But I want to stick pretty close to chapter of Sunday if possible. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is I need your prayers. And it'll be a different series. It'll be on Romans. It'll be a second session Sunday, and we're just going to take a break between Romans 5 and 6 to do the book of Daniel. Yeah, so the introduction here will be 5 minutes. So that's going to be it. Yeah, so introduction will be very... In fact, what I'm going to do to kind of conserve time, part of the introduction to Daniel is putting it in historical place. There is so much going on and in getting Daniel to Babylon. So what I've decided to do, I've got over a page of just kind of going through the history. I'm just going to copy and give it to you. And then we'll just read it very quickly. I don't have to sit there and meditate on it. And that'll take only a few minutes to do that. And we'll get it down. We're talking about Memorial Day weekend this weekend. And you talk about the history of man is a history of wars. And boy, it's never seen so clearly, so quickly, as if you go through the getting Daniel into Babylon. Because you have the Assyrian Empire is dominant. You have Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon rising up in power. He goes into battle with Assyria, and then he goes into battle with Egypt, and then you have go from Assyrian Empire to the Babylonian Empire, and then the Medes come in. I mean, it just in a quick order, the rise and fall of nations, seeing God is in control, is so prominent. Well, we'll take care of that later. Right now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My goodness, let me take a drink here. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God by prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting the Spirit who is the true teacher. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book that reveals all that we need to know. All that we need to know for our personal problems, history, spiritually, everything, Father, is in this book. If we would but study it, dwell on it, believe it, and live it. Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's read verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the teaching here. And then he reveals spiritual with spiritual creatures. And now we move to verse 14. But a natural man, not the spiritual man at the end of verse 13, or the spiritual man at the end of verse 13, now verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Does not accept the things of the Holy Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. So, we left off last week with looking at the ministries, a pertinent ministry of the Holy Spirit in regard from Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 18, led by the Spirit. Verse 25, live by the Spirit. Well, excuse me, first of all, we have walked by the Spirit, then led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and then we have the fourth one being be in step with the Holy Spirit. And last week we just summarized very quickly looking at when we walk by the Holy Spirit. That's by faith. We looked at some of the things that happened. Then secondly we looked led by the Holy Spirit. And this morning we began with the third one, and that is live by the Holy Spirit. When we live by the Holy Spirit, He makes us alive. That's where the ideal of living comes in. People, life and living is so prominent in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 5 this morning, we'll see the free gift. What is the free gift? I'll just tell you. The free gift is eternal life. God cares about our life. The unbeliever thinks he's living now, but he's not. And when we're carnal, we think we're living, but we're not. The life we're talking about is spiritual, dynamic life that touches time and eternity. This is where you want to live. This is the dynamics of the mundane decisions that we make day in and day out in our early life, earthly life. What are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do with our money? What are we going to do with our friendship? What are we going to do with these things? These are questions that deal with whether you're living or not. So the third one is live by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us spiritually alive. Now, for that, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Want to get more out of life? Forget all the books. Forget all these things. And let's stay with the Word of God. Now, I'm not excluding our health and good health and things like that. But here we're talking about day in and day out. Are you alive or not? So let's look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 6 together. For the mind set on the flesh. Okay, first thing you want to know is this is where the battle is, people. The battle is in your mind. The battle is not in human relationships. The battle is not what you have or don't have. The battle is in the mind. There are a multitude of people who have multitude of things. They're not happy. There are those who have nothing, they are happy. There are those who have nothing, they are miserable. There are those who have everything, they're happy. It's in the mind. That's where the battle is fought. For the mind set on the flesh is death. People, things that we do in the flesh. I'm talking family relationships. I'm talking finance, fun, enjoyment, work, everything. But the mind set on the Holy Spirit is life and peace. It's life and peace. So, now also look at the Gospel of John. Thank you very much. Thank you. I was watching a political, this reminded me years ago, it was election time, and there was this old politician. He was serious on TV. And bless his heart, he had his notes all messed up. And he couldn't figure it out up there. He was on television, running for public office, and he was just totally flabbergasted. He just went, oh, heck with it. I'll just talk to y'all. And just threw his notes on the floor and went on talking. So thank you, Jim, for picking that up. Fortunately, it went right on the back, so I don't have to try to insert it anywhere. Okay, Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7. When I take time out to do those kind of, say those kind of things, I wonder about people on the internet. What is he talking about? John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, Jesus Christ, as the scripture said, from the innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were, day of Pentecost, to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The point here is that the Holy Spirit gives us life. Jesus Christ gives us life. The Holy Spirit gives us life. Got to understand the relationship with each other. At any given moment in your life, people, any given moment, you're dead. You're living in the flesh. Or you are alive, living in the Holy Spirit. And taking our words that we studied last week, you are psychikos, natural, flesh, or pneumatikos, from pneuma, spiritual. You're either dead in the flesh, alive in the Spirit. This is true at any given moment. You're watching TV, you're driving a car, you're at work, you're talking to someone, you're getting ready to talk to someone, you're going through some difficult decision making. You're either dead or alive, people. We have to understand this. This is very important for our daily life. We are eternally alive in Christ, but experientially here on earth, we're either alive in the Holy Spirit or dead in the flesh. And here's what I'm so thankful to Lewis Berry Chafer, who led me out of the darkness of works of spirituality by confession. That's works. And what Chafer said, Lewis Berry Chafer said in chapter 7 of his book, He That Is Spiritual, said, we have to understand that our spirituality is analogous to our salvation. They are both forms of salvation being brought to life. And if we would understand that simple, that pierced right through decades of teaching spirituality by works. It just shot through it. That we have to realize that being restored as believers from sin, death in sin, is analogous to our being unbelievers being made alive in Christ. And if we understand that, then we have to conclude it's a work of God. Both of those are a work of God. And therefore, if they're both a work of God, they both must be received by faith. By faith. By grace through faith. And that's what we have going on in our study. Now, being dead in the flesh means that you still may be trying to do good works. Always remember this. Being dead doesn't mean you're out sinning in the traditional way of thinking about sin. Doesn't mean you're out doing bad things. You may come to Bible class, give money, pray, sing, witness, moral conduct, on and on and on. But you're dead. It's coming from dead. It's called dead works. These are all dead works because you're in the flesh. You're in the natural man who is dead. It's what we just read in Romans 8. Only when we're alive in the Holy Spirit are we alive in Christ. And that's why only in the Holy Spirit can we comprehend this word. You can read this word and get some emotion out of it as being a dead person, spiritually dead, as a believer, and all these. But as far as spiritual impact, we have to be alive. And we are alive in Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit who causes everything we do to be acceptable to God when He empowers us, makes us alive. In the flesh, in the natural man, the psychikos, natural man, we're dead. And everything we do is dead. In the angelic conflict, in the spiritual warfare, before God, before man. Now, before man, you may look good. You may look moral, and that's wonderful. From the human standpoint, we'd like everyone to be moral. We'd like certainly our neighbors to be moral, not running a drug outlet or something. See, we prefer that. But before God, it means nothing. This is the concept that got Martin Luther in a lot of trouble with the Roman Church. When he started realizing this and came out of his little cubbyhole, of studying. So it's very subtle how we move into the natural man. And the pneumatikos, in the spiritual, living by the Holy Spirit, He makes everything we do dynamic, spiritually, touching time and eternity, and acceptable before God. Now, what happens when we live in the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, this is one of the results of believing in Jesus Christ. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And he himself, verse 24, 1 Peter 2, 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. This is what we're studying in Romans 5 right now. The imputation of all personal sins, judicial imputation, to Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's what this is talking about. He himself bore our sins, imputed to him and his body on the cross, that we might die to sin, living in sin, and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So the purpose has an effect, not just in eternity, but in time. Live our life to righteousness. Now this is very close. Look with me at Galatians 5. Coming off of the 1 Peter passage, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Got Romans 5 on my mind. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. And let's look at verse 5. For we, believers, through the Spirit, and then you have by faith. Now, by faith goes both directions. We, through the Spirit, by faith, that's how we access the power of the Spirit, and then it goes forward. By faith, are waiting in our lives on earth for hope, confidence of righteousness. That is a righteous life. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are judicially imputed divine righteousness. And we live in the Holy Spirit, and He produces a righteous life. He has to do this, for we cannot do it. Now, another good place to get some idea of what it means to live in the Spirit, look at Galatians 3, since you're in Galatians. Look at Galatians 3. And let's look at verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. And people, I just wish we just spend forever here. There are so many people, I live by the law, I'm believing God if I do the law. No, you live by the law, it's not by faith. It's do and do, do and do. It's that simple. Here's your verse. The law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them, the law, shall live by them. Now, this gives you an idea of what's going on. Understand that to live has two basic meanings here. First, it means to actually be alive, obviously, not physically, but spiritually. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives life. Secondly, it means to direct your course in life. To direct your course in life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. If you live by the law, you carry the law around, this will direct what I say, what I do, what I don't do, da-da-da-da. And what I like about the legalist, they have the law, and then they have their own list with it. To some legalist, if you drink a beer, you're really, really bad. You're not living by the law. But if you play cards, that's okay. Now, to another group of legalists, to drink a beer is not that bad. But, to play cards, that's bad. So we all have our list. Legalists, all people who live by the law, have their list. And they feel very comfortable before God because I don't do my understanding of the law. You, on the other hand, are out of line. You don't do what I do. Law always sets you up to judge others, by the way. Always remember that. If you work on a performance system, you will always judge others. If you're on a performance system. So, this is what we have going on. Now, this brings us to the next step in Galatians chapter 5. And, in fact, turn with me to Galatians 5, because this gets kind of complicated. This one's not as easy just to read off and move on. So if you look at Galatians chapter 5, and if you look at verse 25, Galatians 5, 25. If we live by the Spirit, now that's what we just covered. Now let's look at the next one. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, look at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Well, let me just start off by telling you the Greek word in verse 25 is different than the Greek word in verse 16. Both are translated walk, but they do not mean walk. Does not mean walk in verse 25. So, in the NASV, it says, walk by the Spirit or follow the Spirit. What does the King James say? Walk in the Spirit. And the NIV, which is pretty close. Anybody have the NIV? The NIV is pretty close here. It says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we have a little problem here. We have a translation problem of what's going on here. Now, the Greek word is stoicheo. S-T-O-I-C-H-E long O. Stoicheo. Now, stoicheo is a military term, strictly military. It means to draw up in a line, in a row, in a rank, be in line with, hold on to follow. To stand beside a person. Means to stand in your squad, just picking the modern military term, in your squad, you stay in tune with them. I remember the old Bud Abbott, Lou Costello movies when they were in the military, and they would say, right face! And Costello would always turn left. And you just stand out. You just stand out. And they're marching along, and they're all going, and he's marching on out that way. You stand out when you're not standing with. You stand out when you're not standing with the Holy Spirit. Is this, yes? Yeah. Now that's the verse 16. Well, in the 16, in verse 16, I say, walk by the Spirit. That means that he governs your life moment by moment. You're walking by the means of the Spirit. Whether you can either walk by the law or you walk by the Spirit. And walk by the law is a good example because, all right, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. I need to turn left here, turn right here. Or I can walk by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit guides me on where to walk. Yes. Well, we have the word to live in verse 25. That's what Paul is trying to do, John. He's trying to give us different emphasis of the word. So what I'm trying to do here is to give, not say walk means live, because we have the word live in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit. So that's going to be a different emphasis than the word to walk. And to keep in step is going to be a different emphasis than to walk. And that's why I'm trying to, when you say walk means to live, well, there's another concept of living in the Spirit. So walking would be, a good idea would be, okay, I have the law, and the law says, turn right, do this, do that, do that, do that. Okay, but when I'm walking by the Spirit, I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead me on how I ought to walk. Now, to live by the Holy Spirit, as we just went through, means it guides my daily life, my living. Give me life. Live. Have that infusion of life to me is by the power of the Spirit, as opposed to death. Now, our word, stakeo, means, and the NIV here is the closest, to keep in step with. And that's a good rough translation of what we have here. It means to stand, to go in order. The ancient Greeks first used the word to refer to military troops who were arranged behind one another. And you keep in step. I'm so sorry, but it's a true fact that in the battle for the Alamo in Texas history, I forgot the exact number, I used to know it, but the number of Mexicans that died in that battle pursuing and taking on the Alamo, but I'm sorry, a great number of those were killed by each other, because then they were charging toward the Alamo. A guy would stumble, and the guy behind him would thrust him with his bayonet and kill him, or shoot him, or different kinds of things. So you want to be able to stay in step with that unit that you're in. Stay in step with the Holy Spirit, and that's just a good way to look at it. You want to stay in step to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. Yes. Well, all of these are by faith. We walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. We live in the Holy Spirit by faith. We keep in step with the Holy Spirit by faith. We're led by the Holy Spirit by faith as we walk by faith. And that's why I'm going through this, to show us different dimensions of what happens when we're in the Spirit. In the 1 Corinthians 2, we're taught by the Holy Spirit. And I'm just trying to fill in some other things that we're so dependent upon the Holy Spirit for. And I'm glad I'm spending the time. So all of these are by faith. When we walk by faith in the Spirit, we're walking, being led, live, and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And the more we grow in the Word under His teaching, the more we're in step. The more we're in step with what He's doing. So this is what's going on. So obviously, the Word contains and conveys more than just to walk. For Paul has already used that word, peripateo, in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit. This word certainly meant to convey an advance on just walking by the Holy Spirit. To walk with someone, and I'm not sure we'd force this on our study, but to walk with someone does not necessarily demand that you be in a complete agreement to walk with someone or dependency. I think a husband and wife can walk together and not be in a complete agreement. He likes science fiction, and she likes female flicks. But they're very, very, very happy. See? They're very happy. And together. So it doesn't mean that. But people in our study, when you are in step with the Holy Spirit, you are completely in agreement with Him. And what happens when we reach that point where we're not? You're out of fellowship. You stop trusting Him. So this is such a military, good military picture of how important it is to just to stay right in step with the Holy Spirit. And the more we grow in the Word, the more we're able to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. When we're out of the Word, not having the Word in us, then we will come along and we'll stop. We want to go to our flesh thinking. Well, this is what I think. This is what I want. So this becomes very important. So to walk them doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a complete agreement or dependency, while the word stoicheo means to be in complete and total agreement, dependency upon the Holy Spirit. This word carries the idea of following. It does carry that idea of following where He leads. And for this, look at Romans chapter 4. Where we've already had this word. Romans chapter 4. Wasn't that long ago, but you might have forgotten that this word was used in Romans 4. All right, Romans chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Verse 11. And He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. This is Abraham. In order that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, Gentiles, that righteousness might be reckoned or imputed to them. Verse 12. And that he might be the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, Jews, but who also follow in, and that's our word. That's our word. Follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. So it does carry the idea of following, but it means to keep right in step. So we keep right in step. All Abraham did was believe. All we do is believe. No law. Wasn't the law. The law has nothing to do with salvation. Otherwise, Abraham would not have been saved. The law had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. And in fact, in our study in Romans chapter 5, we're talking about those from Adam to Moses, which includes Abraham. And so, this is what we're dealing with. So you can see clearly the ideal of following, how Abraham arrived at faith, at righteousness by faith alone. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I still feel that our study on Galatians is my basic study. And then we've added a dynamic to it with the basic introduction of the Bible, which when I get on it, we'll get it in writing. Okay. All right. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 16. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Okay, now we have to ask ourselves, what rule? Those who walk by this rule. Okay, look at verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. There's your rule. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. In other words, it's not performance. It is under no performance at all. In fact, he uses almost the same expression in chapter 5, verse 6. Look at chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, performance, any performance system, means anything. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. It's the only thing that matters, people. Being right, being wrong, that doesn't matter. It's expressing spiritual love through faith in the Holy Spirit, that he can pour this love into and through us. So this is the law that we are to follow. It's the law of walking by faith. That's the law. It is amazing how many Christians, people, prefer to live by the law. Keep in step with the law. Obey the law. But people, nowhere in all of the New Testament does it even come close to saying that we are to obey the law or try to keep the law or be in step with the law. Nowhere. The law kills. The law increases sin. But it is amazing the number of born-again believers in the world today who want to live by the law. Because it has claws you can control. Think you can. Control people with the law. But nowhere are we told to keep in step with the law. We are told to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. But people don't know how to do that, so they prefer something that they can physically look at and read and control. All these type of things, people. That's why we live by faith. The dynamics of the Christian life for a new spiritual creation is by faith. But it's amazing how many people, no, got to live by the rules. Got to obey the rules. Don't find that in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's keep in step with the Holy Spirit. This is what we have. We're exhorted to live our life, the Holy Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, walk by the Holy Spirit, live by the Holy Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Look at Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Now, the King James says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. The NIV misses the point altogether. But here what I want you to see is, keep living. Keep living. Let us walk by the same standard by which, that same rule by which we are. It's very close to what Paul says in Colossians 2:6. As you have received him, walk. How did we receive him? By faith. That's how we're going to live. Continue to walk and live by faith. Okay, this takes care of the four verbs that we looked at in Galatians 5. But now, let's take a look at the verbs from Galatians 5. And I'll put this on the board so I want you to see it. All right, first of all, we have walk. And walk here is a present, active, imperative. Present, active, imperative. Now, you'll recall that the imperative mood is the furthest move, the mood furthest removed from reality. It expresses God's desire for us. People have often asked, well, if we can't do it, and if it's a further, why do we have so many imperatives? We know God's desire. It expresses God's desire for us. That we walk by the Holy Spirit, imperative mood. Now the question is, how do we walk by the Holy Spirit? And this is where most pastors, Christians, people, and that is by faith. One of my fun things to do when I used to go to the gym all the time, and people would come up and start talking with me. They knew I was a pastor, and sometimes, most of the time I enjoyed it, but sometimes I just, hey, I got to get out of here. I got to move on. I have things to do. But people come up and want to talk, and that was fine. But I had my most fun. I don't know if I was always in the spirit, but I would say, okay, you're pastor, and I'll make sure they got salvation one or eternal life salvation. What does he teach? How are you saved? And I was amazed. Sometime way out in the Thule somewhere, every now and then, by faith in Christ. Bingo. Now, what does your pastor teach you on how to be filled with the Spirit? Does he teach you to be filled? Yeah. How? I'm in silence. Nothing. I said, well, what does he teach? Nothing. You know, I'm going to ask him. Nobody ever came back and said, I asked my pastor, and this is what he said. But people, this is where we fail. How? How am I saved eternally? How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I keep in step with the Holy Spirit? And then we have led by the Spirit, and this is a present, passive. Here the imperative was what was important. Here we have a present, passive, indicative. And here, the passive voice is what is important. And what is the passive voice? We receive being led. Under the passive voice, we receive being led by the Spirit. So the imperative mood is walk by the Holy Spirit. That's by faith. Now, be led of the Holy Spirit, that's passive. We receive being led by the Spirit when we walk by faith. Okay? Now, we come to the third one, and that is live. Live by the Holy Spirit, and this is just a simple present, active, indicative. This, what does this tell us? This should be your life. This should be your life. How do we live? We live by breathing. Now, no one taught us how to breathe. They pulled us out of the womb and popped and swatted us on the backside. And we took our breath, and that was that. How did we learn to breathe? We were smacked. And we've been breathing ever since. Now, you let something happen to your lungs. You let something happen to your whole system, and you got to learn to breathe. I remember when I had my quadruple heart bypass, they brought me this little unit thing, and you had to breathe in it, and it pulled this thing way up high, and it went down, and you got to get it higher. Can't get it any higher. You got to get it higher and higher in the little tube that they had. Got to learn to breathe deeply all over again. Okay? This is how we live. Got to live day in and day out. Live by the Holy Spirit. Live by the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. And then the fourth one, keep in step. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And this is fun. Present, active. See, the active voice means you do it. Active voice, you do it. Active voice, you do it. Active voice, you do it. You make a decision. Your decision is faith. Present tense, this is what should be going on in your life all the time. The imperative mood, command to walk. Passive voice, we receive being led. Present active indicative, pattern of your life. Now we have the present active subjunctive. Subjunctive mood. Now, what does the subjunctive mood tell us? The subjunctive mood says maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's dependent. The subjunctive mood is this dependent mood. It's dependent on something else. What is it dependent upon? It is dependent upon you walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, moment by moment. So maybe you will keep in step with the Spirit. Present tense, every minute of your life. And the active voice, you have to make a conscious decision. And the subjunctive mood, maybe we will walk by the Spirit, maybe we won't. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Sometimes things happen in our life that we are consciously aware. Well, I'm getting ready to witness. I'm test myself to be sure I'm trusting the Spirit. I'm getting ready to do this. I want to be sure I'm in the Spirit. People, this should be our attitude all the time. All the time. Should be our attitude. And this subjunctive mood says, maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's dependent on whether or not you're walking in the Holy Spirit. Now, the final thing I want to look at here is the battlefield. The battlefield. If you are a born-again believer, you are what we call trichotomous. T-R-I-C-H-O-T-O-M-O-U-S, trichotomous. Body, soul, and spirit. All three are influenced by the Holy Spirit. The body's influenced by the Spirit, the human spirit's influenced by the Spirit, and the soul is influenced by the Spirit. Let's look at two passages for this. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. And we want to look at verses 46 and 47. Luke 1:46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." Okay, there's her souls involved. "And my spirit," that's her human spirit, "has rejoiced in God my Savior." So here we have two facets of who and what we are, influenced by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Her soul exalts, and her human spirit rejoices in God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's joy. Now, it includes the mind. Look at Romans chapter 8. This is the battlefield. Romans 8. Here's your battlefield, people. One of my favorite authors, whom I look forward to seeing when I go to heaven, is Whitaker Chambers. And he, in his book, Witness, and in his book, Cold Friday, he talks about the battlefield is the soul, the mind. That's where the battle is fought. In communism, capitalism, Christianity, and anti-Christianity. The battle is in the mind. Look at Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds, this is the battlefield, on the things of the flesh. But those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Now, there are those in the flesh who the Mosaic law. It's not what's being talked about here. This is not the law of God, not the Mosaic law. For it is not even able to do so. Verse 8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There it is. You can't please God if you're in the flesh. Verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Holy Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, and he is, if you're a believer, through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, we're not going to go through every one of these passages. What I want you to understand is the battlefield is the mind. That's where our battle is. Now, where does this take us? We understand the battle is in the mind. This takes us to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians 2 now, our passage. Yes, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. But a natural man, not a spiritual, does not accept the things of God. Why not? They are foolishness to him. Now, where is this? This is in the mind. This is the thought process. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. Why not? Because they are spiritually appraised. And he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So we're dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of a new spiritual creation. That is inside a pneumatikos spiritual creation. Because you are saved does not mean you will live like you're saved, people. Because you are imputed righteousness does not mean you will always live a righteous life. Because you are a spiritual creature does not mean you will live like a new spiritual creation. Because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit does not mean you will live a spiritual life. These wonderful blessings mean that you are capable. You are capable of living a righteous life. You are capable of living a spiritual life. You are capable of learning spiritual things from the Holy Spirit. Does not mean that you will. It means that you are capable. You and I must make a conscious decision throughout every day of our life to live in the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit and the study of the Word of God, growing in the Word of God. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, natural, psukikikos, our word, from psuke, soul, part of the immaterial, part of who and what we are. It's that which we have in common with animals. Natural, pertaining to the natural, as distinguished from the spiritual. Now, there are a few other words, not many, that correspond with this word. Look at chapter 3. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as men of flesh. There's our word, men of flesh. This is sarkikos. We've had pneumatikos and sukikos. This is sarkikos. S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. Sarkikos. From sarks, flesh. Okay? And so I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but to men of the flesh, as to babes in Christ. Now, he adds that to point out that while they are sarkikos, in the flesh, they do belong to Christ. They are believers. That's why he added, and we'll see that, as babes in Christ. This is why he will add that. Now, the King James often will translate this word as carnal. It does so in 1 Corinthians 2, 3:1, and it's translated as carnal, but it's flesh. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, back up to our study. Now, we're told a very important fact about the natural man, or when you're in the flesh. Look what it says. Does not accept the things of God. The Spirit of God. Okay, this is a present, middle. We haven't had the middle this morning. Present, middle, indicative of dekomai. It means to accept an offer. It means a deliberate accept. That's the middle voice. You deliberately accept this offer. Has received to himself. Take to oneself what is presented or brought by another. Plus the negative. Please pay attention to what is being said here in this phrase. The natural man, make it as strong as I can, the natural man makes a conscious decision not to accept the things freely given to him by God. He makes a he makes a conscious decision. No, I don't believe that. Not going to accept that. Don't want that. Just does not. And this starts with the gift of salvation, people. They simply refuse to take it, even though it's freely given by grace. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, 3, verse 6. You, all right, let me give you time to get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You, all right, believers, we're talking to believers, also became imitators of us and of the Lord. Now look what it says. Having received the word, it received the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit. I love this verse. I love it. People cannot receive the word, and we just live in good time. I mean, here we have a nice air-conditioned, heated room, good lighting, somewhat comfortable chairs, and we can meet. We don't have to fear anything. I wonder if more would come if it cost. I wonder if more would say, wait a minute, I need this. See, I don't need it now. My life's busy. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. I've got trips. I've got the things at my house. I got things at work. I got my family. I got my friends. I got soccer. I got basketball with my children. I got all of these things. I got this and that and all. And I don't really need a daily intake of the Word of God. I really don't even need to meet 3 times a week. Don't need it. I'm too busy. But I wonder if it was dire straits and it cost. I really am serious. I wonder if more would come. Sometimes I think they would. I don't think they would. I don't think it'd be less. I think this is serious. This is a freedom I value and I haven't been using it, but I need to be there. I know when Russia was behind the Iron Curtain, people, they would meet. They'd meet 1 week in the woods, 1 week in Yugoslav's barn. That's just some Russian name, I don't know. And they would meet over at this place. They'd meet there, and they'd change it around so they wouldn't get caught. It was important to them. I don't know that it's too important to people today to study the Word of God. A lot of them go where there's a lot of hoopla. They feel good. But as far as studying the Word, not very many across this country really care about it. So 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's a shame that few believers really receive and find a great joy in receiving the Holy Spirit. So we'll pick it up here next Sunday morning and continue along. And when we get into chapter 2, I'm going to have to move a little faster. Not a whole lot, but a little bit faster. And But I want to take time in chapter 2 because this to me is one of the great chapters on the Holy Spirit in all of the New Testament. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, when we study this book and we allow your Spirit to open our eyes, we see how important the Holy Spirit is and how dependent we are upon Him. I pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things that we've seen this morning, cause them to become a reality in our soul, where we believe them, and then live them. And that is to live in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.